This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up? What's up? What's going on, everybody out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is yours truly, LP, kicking it with you. Dropping the pod when I'm supposed to drop it. Like I told y'all, I'm trying to stay here on the grind, y'all, trying to make sure I get it done when I'm supposed to get it done and send it out to a surprisingly growing amount of people. I mean, can you call blowing up going from 4 to 8? Like, can you call 6 to 12 blowing up? Hey, I guess you can. I mean, it's my pod, so I guess I can. But either way, man, appreciate y'all sticking and staying. If you're a first time, appreciate you listening for the first time. Make sure you come back. We here every Tuesday, doing what we do out here from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's always a nice time to pod when the boys not only take the win, but just a super convincing win. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about why LP does not do quote unquote hot takes. Then we're gonna talk about Wakanda Forever, man, because it's dropping and we excited. But if you hadn't heard, the Bengals got a ridiculous win, 42-21 over the Carolina Panthers. Got family down in Charlotte. Most of them are Cincinnati Bengals fans, so that's cool. But it's a lot of people talking crazy, like, well, you know, the Bengals are supposed to do that. You know, that's how they're supposed to win, so you can't really count that as like a real big dub. First off, chill out. All of these NFL teams are professional teams, and if you don't bring it, you will take a L no matter how bad that team's record is. Case in point, did you see what Cleveland did to the Bengals on Monday night? Did you catch that? That was a quote-unquote bad team that the Bengals ran up against, and the Bengals ended up looking like a bad team. So like I keep telling y'all, you can't take anything in the NFL for granted. You definitely cannot. Anybody can come through and scrape you. And it wasn't that the Bengals won. It's how the Bengals won. And I swear, man, I feel like they got folks like listening to podcasts, like trying to check out what we saying and like implementing our stuff. Nah, not really. Not for real. I just happened to say something that made sense. And I'm sure a lot of other people were saying the same thing. I'm not going to be ridiculous with it, y'all. But basically what I was saying was, you don't have one of your best players, Ja'Marr Chase. He's not going to be there for a few more weeks. However, in addition to the embarrassment of riches that you have at wide receiver, you also have probably one of the top 7 or 8 running backs in the game right now with Joe Mixon. Real talk, he is that man. He is really one of the best 7 or 8 running backs in the league right now. Give him the ball. The offense, like I told y'all last week, the offensive line loves to run block. I mean, they're cool with pass blocking. It's part of the description. But letting them run block on a regular basis, it's kind of like giving a kid cake, and then you keep giving them cake. I mean, yeah, they have to eat vegetables. You know, you gotta eat that stuff. But they here for the cake. Like, that kid is here for the cake. They here for the ice cream. So, you put that in front of them, they getting in on that. That's basically what it is with an offensive lineman. They're okay with falling back and pass protecting because, you know, that's necessary. It's part of the job. They'll do it, and they won't be upset about doing it. They'll do it happily. However, give an offensive lineman a choice between run blocking and pass blocking. Like I was telling y'all last week, like I have friends who have done the offensive lineman thing, and they're like, let me maul that person. Let me push those defensive linemen back and back and put them in the ground. And after a while, you can see him getting tired. And that's when the offensive linemen just go like, yeah, it's our time to shine. That's really why Michigan is doing so well for the past couple of years. They figured out, this is a quick side note, but I'm jumping on this anyway because I was going to say this anyway. Michigan figured out that you can't outspeed Ohio State. You cannot out-talent Ohio State. There's only three or four teams in the United States that play college football that can out-talent, outrun, and outclass Ohio State. It's only like three or four. And they're all down south. Basically, Ohio State is a down south team that plays in Columbus, Ohio. Michigan figured out that the way to beat Ohio State is to just bloody them up. Make them play a game that we're not really suited to play because we're suited to play the down south teams. We have a brand, not a brand new, but we're doing Ohio State. We're doing what the other teams won't do. We're spreading the ball out, boom, 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 getting to the wide receivers. Michigan's like, we're not doing that. They're like, we let our offensive linemen know that we're just going to maul teams into a pile of dust. They're going to have to out-physical us to win. That's what Michigan is saying. And Ohio State didn't do that last year. Ohio State, and you know, we can blame the weather, you know, but we just got punched in the mouth by a team that was better than us. And it don't even hurt me to say that because the game wasn't even that close. It'd be different if we lost by three and it's all this ifs and maybes, and it wasn't like that. So Ohio State got to go back to the drawing board. And I'll break down my plan to beat Michigan in like a week or so. But basically, here's what I'm saying. Teams that don't have the wide receiver depth or teams who have a very good running back, they let the offensive line simply shine. Let them do what they want to do. This is what the Bengals figured out. They figured it out last week, and they just started pounding Carolina. It was good to see that they weren't going to rely on Joe Burrow to just throw the ball 40 times a game. It's cool for him to do. It's pretty. It's awesome. But sometimes you got to let these boys know that we'll run the ball repeatedly until you stop it. It's a luxury to be able to do that. The Bengals figured it out. And what we're hoping as fans, and like I said, it's not just that they did it. It's how they did it. Man, they running jet sweeps. They doing all types of wild stuff. Like you see San Francisco do. Like you see Baltimore do. Because if you're going to run it a lot, you got to make it look different. You can't just keep running halfback dive. Like, what is that Tecmo Bowl mess? Ohio State be running sometimes, and the Bengals be running 3rd and 1, halfback dive. 2nd and 8, halfback dive. Come on, man. Switch it up. Diversify. That's what the Bengals did. It was good to see. Got the bye week coming up. And then Pittsburgh. It's supposed to be a Sunday night game. I can't see it being a Sunday night game. Not with the Steelers being, what, 2-6? Something like that. I mean, I'm sure that Sunday night football will find Dallas playing somebody or Philly playing somebody. I mean, that's how it's going to be. Regardless, the Bengals have to do two things. One, don't be afraid to let Mixon run the ball, especially early in the game. This is true if you playing second grade football. If you can run the ball against a team, you can pretty much do whatever you want to do. Real talk. If you get the ball on first down and run it for 6-7 yards on first down, you can do whatever you want to do for the whole game. If you just decide to throw, it might work for a little bit, but at some point, you're going to end up with a 3-and-out, and then you're going to end up with like multiple 3-and-outs. And I mean, your defense just end up tired. I can't count how many times you could tell that the Bengals' defense was just so tired of having to hold it down. And by that time, it's fourth quarter. The offense turned it up, but the defense worn out for keeping them in the game for so long. So, it was good to see. Hopefully, you know, we keep doing the same thing, kind of keeping that run first and letting the run dictate what we do with the pass. Everything I said for the Bengals, true for Ohio State. I'm not about to have y'all sitting here and listen to me say the exact same thing, because it's the same thing. I'll just kind of make it super concise. With one difference. Here's the part that's the same. Ohio State figured out that they had to run the ball in a different way. You can't just keep giving it to the Cincinnati kid, Mayan Williams, on the same play. I know he was getting frustrated. This is the same play. It doesn't matter how bad the other team is. They're going to sniff it out. So at some point, they realize, you know what? Nobody's expecting C.J. Stroud to run. Let's do that. It's not like C.J. Stroud is slow. I mean, he can get it in when he needs to. He's done that all year. The design runs were absolute genius. That's the part that's the same. When you run it different ways, you kind of make the defense think, and then you can do your thing. Here's the part that's different. I get on the tweeter machine, and people are just giving it to C.J. Stroud. He can't throw in bad conditions. He needs to be sunny outside. He needs to be like 70 degrees outside in order for him to perform well. Dude, we talking 50-mile-an-hour winds. Northwestern threw the ball, I think, 6 or 7 times, period. People calling C.J. Stroud a bum for having a bad performance in 50-mile-an-hour winds. Now, if you want to say Ohio State should have ran the ball better and you want to ding them for that, go right ahead. I won't doubt you. I won't hold it against you. I'll even agree with you. I won't blame it on the runners as much as I blame it on the run play calls and the run scheme. But if you want to put it on that, that's cool. But if you say, oh, my C.J. Stroud trash. Did you see that game against Northwestern? Seriously. Look, up the street from my house right now, up the street, there is a tree, big tree, been standing there for years. It is snapped in 2 pieces, y'all. It's just dangling there. I don't know why they won't come and get it and cut it down or something like that. I don't know why the city won't help out. But this is literally right up the street. That's what C.J. Stroud was throwing into. The ball was just wobbling and doing crazy things. And again, if you want to say, well, they should have been running the ball more, that's the time for your running game to shine. You won't hear an argument from me. I agree. Good point. However, you cannot look at those conditions and say, well, if he was good, he would have got it in. He would have did his thing. Man, please. That's one of those games where you get the W any way you can, and you get up out of there. Every team in the nation, if they're worth their salt, they're going to have at least one game, maybe even two, where it's not how you win, it's that you win. It's the exact opposite of what happened with the Bengals. With the Bengals, it wasn't that they won. It was how they won. They needed to win in an impressive fashion. Ohio State, in 50-mile-an-hour winds, and that drizzle just drizzling around, they needed to get the W, no matter how they got it, and get out of there. Because Tennessee didn't get the W. Alabama didn't get the W. Clemson didn't get the W. So it was one of those Saturdays where people falling left and right. You just got to get yours, man. That's how it is in college football. You get to a certain point of the season, it's survive, get to the next game. The style points are for earlier in the season, y'all. This November, this money time, this where teams ain't really playing no games. Like, they know who they are at this point. And we know who Ohio State is. We know how strong the offense is. You know, you can dingle for small things here or there, but at some point, you got to cut these young boys some slack. Like, we expecting them to perform in conditions like that the same way they did in August and September? Come on, man. Be for real. The big game's coming up in a few weeks. I wish it was tomorrow. I need to stop hearing that Ohio State is not the defending champions of the Big Ten. I need that to end. I need November 26th to get here ASAP so we can put it on Michigan, so I can talk my stuff. I can talk my talk for 365 days. That's what I'm ready for. That's what I need. And it's coming soon. Like, I ain't even thinking about losses. Not for real. I lay out my whole plan of what Ohio State should do to get that dub. Probably in a couple weeks. The game plan, to just kind of clue you in, the game plan is simple, but it's difficult. Because you got to respect what Michigan has done up to this point. And you got to respect what they did last year. So, the game plan is very simple. It will not be easy to execute. It's one of those things where you tell a kid, like, this is how you do it, and you make it sound super easy. So they start working on it. Let's say I give them, like, a math problem, like, you know, solving inequalities or something like that. And I'm like, okay, you just take the opposite of the number, and then you put it on both sides. Boom. That's how you do it. Oh, man, Mr. Parker, that's easy. No problem. But then you got it to where if it's a negative, you got to flip around the sign. And then if it's a negative and the X is on the other side, you got to flip the sign around twice. And they're like, what? I thought this was easy. That's what it's going to be like to stop Michigan. Everybody knows what to do, but nobody's been able to figure out how to do it. So I'm going to kind of lay that out next week. Real talk. And I'm kind of about to lay out my no hot takes policy. I might say some stuff that you don't agree with when it comes to sports and life or whatever, but it's never one of those things where I'm like trying to shock you, where I'm just saying something just wild and crazy just for you to listen. And here's the policy. Somebody from ESPN, I forget his name. It'll probably come to me as soon as I sign off, y'all. That's kind of how I get down. But he put out in the ether, out in the atmosphere, that he expected PJ Walker to outplay Joe Burrow in an NFL football game when they played against each other on Sunday. This man really came out and said that, like, chest out, and believed it. And as soon as I read it, I'm like, really? You really expect that to happen? And I can't even see where he got it from. I guess you can say that, you know, PJ Walker balled out last week against Atlanta and they barely lost. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow played extremely poor against Cleveland. So, you know, without Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow isn't this, that, and the third. But come on, man. Put some respect on Burrow's name. PJ Walker, like, fresh out, I think the XFL or something like that. And there's no assassination on this man's character. He got more wins for Carolina this season than any other QB that played for them. So it's no assassination on his character. It's just one of those things where you hear people say wild stuff just to say wild stuff. And everybody was looking like, seriously? And then when PJ Walker comes out and has a 0.0 QB rating when he gets pulled out of the game, you know, everybody had they stuff to say about dude, like, oh, you really thought that was going to happen? And like I said, it's no disrespect to PJ Walker. He had a bad game. He's actually been performing pretty well. Like, real talk. He's done his thing. But it just really, I won't say it bothers me because it's not that deep. But you see it in the media all the time where it's like, you know, one great way to cure cancer. And then, like, you wait through the commercials and then you see it and it's like, a study in Istanbul, Turkey shows that one person cured cancer by rubbing ice crystals on his chest. This is what I waited through the commercials for. You just made me watch like 5 straight political ads. 2 of them was the same one. I waited through all of that to hear this. I can't even get that time back. I can't get that 4 minutes back. Man, I could have got up, made a sandwich. I could have found my other missing sock because I cannot find this sock, y'all. Like, I'm staring at the sock right now. And I know it has a mate. And I can't find the mate. I could have used 4 minutes to do that. I could have did a sweep of my room. I could have tapped the wife and been like, hey, wifey, you seen this other sock? Why are you always asking me for stuff that you lost? I don't know. I thought that's what husbands do. Like, we could have had that petty argument real quick and then laughed at each other and then did something else. But instead, I'm sitting here waiting about, oh, wow, one way I can cure cancer or at least, like, you know, stop it from happening? And you're talking about ice crystals on your chest. That's what a hot take is for me. Like, it's somebody just spewing stuff out to keep you, like, riveted. Because, you know, once you click or once you watch, that kind of counts for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they already got you whether you stay or not. I appreciate, you know, a lot of the people I follow on Twitter. You know, Court Extra does a great job. Check out their pod. My man's Ben and Jeff, you know, they had the DTS Sports Pod. They do a great job. It's so many people, and it's not even sports, you know. Tam has a great pod. Jay Boog has a great pod. And, you know, they just talk about life. And you don't hear, like, stuff where they just try to get you to listen by saying something wild and, oh, wow, did you hear what he said? I need to hear why he said that. And then you listen and you go like, that was a real letdown. You was just kind of talking out the side of your neck there. That's what I felt when I read that whole thing that dude put out. I really don't get, well, here's a hot take. Here's a controversial take. If you can really explain why you feel how you feel, it's not even a hot take to me. It's just somebody that thinks differently from you. That's all it is. When you just kind of blow hot smoke like, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers is washed up. Well, why is he washed up? Why do you think that? Did you see the last game? Yeah, he had a bad game. He's washed up. It's over. That's all you got? That's what I signed up for? That's why I'm here, huh? I just don't appreciate that. And maybe I just need to kind of change my, you know, my 30-second spot or something like that, because it's not like I'm not going to have something to say that you don't agree with. It's not going to be like that. It's just that if I say it, I can tell you exactly why I feel like that. It's not me saying, oh, I feel like this or I feel like that. And then you listen, it's like, well, the last time it happened, no, I have supporting facts. I can even give you, like, background for stuff that happened to me, like, months or years ago that made me feel the way that I feel. So I never consider what I say a hot take. I have thoughts. I have opinions. sometimes you might agree with him. Sometimes you might be like, ah, LP on that stuff. I don't know about that. But I'm not about to yell at you. I'm not about to be like, here's what I think. It's my turn to talk. Like, nah, man, it's, you got to be able to express yourself and listen to somebody else say what they got to say. That way you can know how they feel, why they feel how they feel. You know what I'm saying? And rarely does somebody say something and then I say something and then I go like, I agree with you 100%. I throw away everything I said and I'm siding with you. It rarely works that way. But I can appreciate when somebody says something where I'm like, dang, I never thought of it like that. Maybe I need to go back and rethink what I was thinking. However, here's what I think. And that's how good conversations take place. But I just feel like nowadays it's just, and it doesn't matter if it's sports or if it's you talking about cars or you talking about what city is best. I mean, when somebody doesn't agree with you, it's all this yelling and, here's my hot take. Cincinnati chili is horrible. Heard that before. Why you feel like that? It just look nasty. I kind of agree with that. If I was rolling up on Cincinnati chili and I was from Albuquerque, New Mexico, I'd be like, ooh, don't know about that, champ. You might have to keep that. Have you ever had it? Have you ever tasted it? I tell you. Those are the conversations I like. And again, I would say me on Twitter, I would say probably 50% of my conversations are sports. Half. Hot takes are given to me. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. But keep it, I wouldn't even say cordial, because you might not even agree, but I mean, just be respectful. And I feel like hot takes equal disrespectful takes. People just yell at you, man, that's for the bird. So that's what I felt when I read that whole thing. Like, he's going to outplay Burrow. I'm not saying Burrow's the best quarterback in the league. That's crazy talk. You got Mahomes. You got Allen. I'm not putting Herbert as better than Burrow. I'm also not putting Burrow better than Herbert. I feel like we still got to play that out. But they on that second tier. There's a first tier. Burrow's on that second tier. But to say he going to get outplayed by P.J. Walker, that's wild. Like, that's crazy talk. I'm moving on. It makes me laugh when I say it. That's, Dude saying that, you wild, man. I'm going to remember your name, too. He on ESPN. I've never heard him talk reckless like that before. That's the first time I ever heard this guy say something that crazy. Usually his takes, they make sense. Even if I don't agree, I'm like, I see what you're saying. That was just wild. Why am I blanking on his name? I think it's Dominique Foxworth. That's who it is. Always have, like, solid take. So that's his first one where I'm like, dude, you on that mess. Anyway, man, Wakanda Forever coming out Friday. Let's go. Probably not gonna see it Friday. You know, school, family, people gotta drive places. I gotta get them there. I gotta pick them up. I get home, I'm wiped, I'm tired, especially on a Friday. Honestly, real talk, I'm probably going to be sitting on the couch just blasting New York Undercover. Just let New York Undercover have it, because season 4 is almost over and we can't wait. So that's probably what I'm going to be doing. I'm guessing in the next week or two, I have seen Wakanda Forever. Probably not twice, but I'll definitely have seen it. It's just the whole Black Panther, like, that movie was absolutely awesome. And I'm not really a superhero movie watcher. Like, that's not really my thing. Like, I don't even think I've seen all the Superman, y'all. Real talk. I've never been that DC comic, that Marvel comic universe. I've never been that guy. It just hasn't been my thing. So, 1 year, It was 2013. 2014 maybe, Iron Man 3 came out. And it's like the last day of school. We have like half of the kids, and we're supposed to take them down to Newport on the levee. If you're from Cincinnati, you know that's where the big movie theater is. One of them, anyway. So we're like, we got to take the kids down here on bus. I'm volunteering to stay at home. I'm volunteering to stay at the school with the kids that can't go, that didn't get the permission to sound or whatever. Because I'm like, I don't care about no Iron Man. And the kids, they're all on my case. Mr. Parker, you gotta see it. I'm like, okay, I guess. We go in, you know, we sit down, it comes on. And man, look, I am riveted the whole time. And the kids nudging me like, I told you, Mr. Parker. I'm like, yeah, like it was amazing. Like the whole plot, the storyline. And I always tell people this. Your superhero movie will only be as good as the villain. The better the villain is, the better the story is. The better the story is, the better the movie is. And who was it? Guy Pearce. Yeah, Guy Pearce ended up playing the villain. We thought it was the Mandarin, but he was kind of like the front for Aldrin. I think it's Aldrin Killian or something like that. And dude was just, he was not really crazy, but they gave you his backstory. And they didn't wait to do it. You had his backstory from the very beginning. Like, they laid it out perfectly. You know, it's like New Year's Eve one year, and Killian wants to talk to Iron Man, Tony Stark. Tony Stark's blowing him off, and he's sitting there watching the fireworks go off New Year's Eve, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna get something special. Like, I'm going to let everybody know about it when I do. And you can see how he was fueled by that, and it kind of motivated him to destroy everything, including Iron Man. When you have that backstory about the villain, it's not like some random dude just woke up one morning like, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to take over the world. You know, I wanted to do that. I just didn't ever tell nobody. No, like, you can see his motivation from jump. It made the movie awesome. And I kind of always held those superhero movies up to Iron Man 3 ever since, because I'm like, that's probably one of the best ones I've seen. And I started watching more and more and more, and I'm like, I still got Iron Man 3 at the top. And that used to be controversial. I guess you consider that a hot take. There you go. People might think that's actually wild, but I got proof to back it up. I hadn't really seen too many of those movies before then. And the movies that came out after, I just felt Iron Man 3 was better. Until Black Panther. And me and the wife, we was probably two of the last people on earth to see Black Panther, y'all. Real talk. It took us forever to see the movie. And then when we finally did, we're just riveted. We're stuck to the chair. Like, we're like, wow, this is amazing. And it's not just that, you know, we're black and it's the Black Panther and everybody was black. Nah, man, like, they immersed you in the entire story, y'all. Like, they immersed you in it. Like, you felt a part of the world. And then once you saw the villain, once you saw Killmonger and you could see his motivation, that just set the whole thing off. Because, and I'm just being real when I say this, y'all, a lot of people sympathize with Killmonger. Like, you could see why he was doing what he was doing. And you couldn't necessarily knock him for it. He's like, my country, my people have been stepped on for so long. And now we're about to rise up and take our power back. He went too far and he overstepped his bounds, and it became where he wasn't really trying to protect his people. He was trying to take over everything. And that's not the way. That's not cool. But you could see why he was doing what he was doing. And you're kind of like, I get it. I understand it. When you can put the villain up to that height, and you can get people to empathize with the villain, you got yourself a hell of a movie. And that's what Black Panther did. And our youngest kid, you know, she's 9, she's about to turn 10. She saw the movie and she was just amazed. And she's like, "Daddy, look at all the girl power." And I'm like, they made the women of Wakanda integral parts of the movie. They weren't just there like as decoration, and you know, they fought other girls, you know. In so many movies you see that, you know, there's the main fight and there's like the cat fight on the side and stuff like that. It wasn't like that. Like, they were basically the main reason why the Black Panther was able to keep power. And that's why Wakanda was able to stay, you know, the way that it was. It was really because a lot of the women, like, they played a very big part. And, you know, she saw that and she's like, "Wow, I can't wait to the next one." And we're like, "Yeah, me either." And once they played the trailer, we was like, "We ready." So at some point in probably the next week or two, we'll be checking that out. Super excited. Don't expect spoilers from me. I will wait a long time before I drop a review on Wakanda Forever, because that's the worst, man. Like, just somebody coming through, "Here's what happened. Well, first," and then I'm like, "La, la, 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 la." No, tell me nothing. So I got to think of a plan when I get to school on Monday, because you already know those seventh graders. "Here's what happened. Let me tell you, man, Mr. Parker." I'm going to have to give out detentions if they spoil it. Is that a good idea? It's probably a bad idea to just whip out detentions and lunch detentions for them spoiling the movie. But it feels right. Like, it feels right. Like, if you listening and you scared, like, I might give your kid a lunch detention, I don't know what to tell you. You might be upset. No, I'm just playing. Like, no, I'm not doing that for real. I'll be a little salty, but I'm still gonna watch the movie anyway. So they're safe. The kids are safe from getting the lunch detention or the after school detention. They're good. Now, extra homework, that's different. Nah, man, let me roll out, man, if people believe me. Let me get up out of here, man. You've been with a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You know, we do this every Tuesday. You'll hear the whole schedule after this. So make sure you stick and stay, and make sure you roll through next week. What we got, I will say, a lot of the same, but hey, you never know. I just appreciate y'all riding with your boy, man, for real. This year two of this whole thing, and this started with me watching a Google commercial, and once the pandemic hit, I'm like, I need something to stay sane. I need something to do, because, you know, we're all in the house, and, you know, it was very cool being in the crib with the kids, because I really mean this too, because, you know, we got to play a lot, and we just got to kind of be around each other. So that was awesome. But sometimes you need a little something else, and this podcast was able to do that for me. So I just appreciate y'all listening, man. So just make sure y'all keep doing that, and I'll keep podding, and this is where we'll be. So as always, y'all, life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.